Good morning, everybody. So, two quick things before we open up the word today. One, I do hope you stay around for the meeting. We have a little presentation, but time for questions, anything that we need to discuss. We'll take that time today. So it'll happen right after service. You know, just give us a few minutes to set up, but we'll have that meeting after service. So please stay and join us. And waiting for confirmation, but Pastor Chautauqua should join us this Sunday coming up. We just had last minute. He was actually flying through this area, had a day, and asked if he could speak here. And I'm just waiting for confirmation about his flight schedule. But more than likely, Pastor Chautauqua will come and share. Many of you know him. He's been a friend of this fellowship. He's been a friend of that ministry for a long time, and he's always a blessing. And tell people that he should be here this week. We'll confirm it once we know, but he should be joining us next Sunday to share the word of God with us. Father, bless your word to our hearts. You said you'd give us ears to hear. Now let us listen to what you would say, and let us make the changes that are appropriate. Your word is alive. It's powerful. You said it won't return void, and we're counting on that. But Lord, let it not be the word that we say is for somebody else, but let us receive it for ourselves and do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what's love got to do with it? I wasn't sure when I mentioned that in New Jersey, and I said, was that Aretha? And I said, no, Tina Turner. I said, okay, I forgot. What's love got to do with it? Well, not according to Tina, but according to Jesus, a lot. A lot. In fact, everything. We spent that time in Revelation chapter 2 yesterday with the church of Ephesus, and you might think we're moving on, but we're not, because the Holy Spirit really impressed on my heart, even as much as last week, that we need to hear more about this love. Ephesus was a real church back in the day when John received the revelation, and Jesus directed him to write one of the seven letters to them. It was a hotbed of worship to false gods, Diana, Artemis, others, cults, false worship, sorcery, all those types of things. In fact, when Paul was there in the church, many of them came to Christ. They had to burn their books, which were books of sorcery and all those different things. And Jesus speaks to that church. And, you know, I'm just seven fairly short verses, but they say an awful lot. I love how Jesus can say a little and it speaks so much. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot or canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them to say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." With all the good stuff they're doing, you got a big problem. You left your first love. You say, why are we going over this again? Because we need to hear more about that love, what that first love is, what it means, how we easily can forget it, how we easily can drift from it. I want to remind you something. Jesus will never leave you, but we can drift from his love. We can leave his love. You say, how do you say that? Well, he said it. They left for their first love, which was him. He said it. Jesus said it. Jesus said it's good enough for me. Love. Leaving the first love. Not lost it. Can't lose him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You hold us in the palm of your hands. But Lord, let us not walk outside of your love. Let us never leave your love. See, one of the things that they had to be reminded with all the good work they were doing there, and they were doing really good work. They were a solid church, biblically sound, doctrinally sound. You know, they were being able to root out the false teachers and the pretenders and all those different people. They were doing that great work, but they lost that love. That they had a passion for the work, but they forgot about their passion for Jesus. They had a zeal and an ardor for doing the good work, but they lost their zeal and their ardor for Jesus. They forgot that the only reason that they had at any point love is because he loved them first. They didn't do it on their own. They forgot. What sometimes many of us forget is that we have all been, if you're in Christ, we've all been made alive together with Christ. I found it real interesting as I was just preparing, began to just look at different scriptures, and the Holy Spirit brought me around to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which was written many, many years before Jesus wrote this letter to them, indicting them on the fact that they have left the first love. And many of us have read that epistle. But I want to challenge you today that maybe you've never read it and realized how much Paul, years earlier, spoke to that church about love. I mean, the Holy Spirit knows. You know, Paul was there, spent a lot of time there. A church grew up there. They, as I said earlier, they burnt their books of witchcraft and stuff when they came to Christ. They tangibly came to Christ and they said, yeah, we're leaving these things behind. Church was a strong church. Paul circled back around years later and met them. Couldn't go back into the city, but he met them on the beach, met with the leadership, and he cried and he wept. He said, but the wolves are going to come in and want to tear you apart. And they did a good job of keeping the wolves away. But in all of that, they had drifted. They had left their first love, and it didn't start all at once. It never does. They gradually drifted away. But they forgot what Paul even told them in his letter to them. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And you, Ephesian church, but remember, God's word is not just some history that we read and maybe we philosophize on it. And when he says, and you know who that's written to? You, me, us. And you, he made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. One of the ways that we begin to forget and leave our first love is when we forget who we were, how dead we were, how much of a sinner we were, how vile we were, and that we were made alive because we were dead. We start to forget that. He says to them, you were made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. One of the ways that we begin to drift and to leave the love of Christ is to forget who we were. You say, yeah, but I was always a pretty good person. But before you were born again, you were a sinner and you're on your way to hell. And you were not as good as you think you were. Because we all walked according to the lusts of our flesh in different ways, granted. But we all were sinners. All. And we forget that while we were like that, verse 4, but God. You can do a whole study on the but gods in the Bible. When all is lost, but God. When there's no hope, but God. But God, while we were in that state, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He adds that little there, by grace you have been saved, because, you know, sometimes we think, well, we did it. I read the Bible and I got good and converted and I made myself so presentable to Christ, he had to accept me. No, by grace. When we forget the grace that was bestowed upon us, we begin to leave our first love. We forget our first love. And we forget what we were once like and now what we have become by his love for us alone, we begin to drift. See, at one time they were so overwhelmed by the joy that came from understanding who they once were in their dead sins and now who they are now made alive in Christ, that passion spilled out. It erupted from them. It just flowed from them. And it went into their work. Their work was good. Their zeal was good to do the things to keep themselves a pure church and to keep themselves doctrinally sound. But when they began to drift because they forgot about who they once were and they got caught up in who they are now, and that they kind of did this, they never think that completely, because remember, they're biblically sound. They know by grace they're saved. But they're kind of like, yeah, you know, but those other guys, and we're better. And you know, and that all stuff starts to happen. You start to think of yourself more than you really should. And they began to drift from his love. And guess what happened? Their work became religion. Their work became work. And they loved the work more than they loved the Lord. And they became probably even Pharisaical, cultish, looking at everybody else with the crooked eye and the crooked finger. And they forgot that that's who they once were. We like to look at ourselves now, all washed and clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we forget that we were washed and clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by our own doing. Give us ears to hear, Lord. See, it's important to be biblically and doctrinally sound. We strive for that here. We try to do our best. I know I try to do my best. And, you know, we can have opinions. They're fine, but they're opinions. We want to get everything back to the Word. And if we can't talk about the Word and we can't prove it by the Word, if we can't do it by the Word, that's all important. I don't want us ever to lose that, because you can get caught up and say, oh, we love everybody and that's all we do. We're just a church of love. But then if you're not doctrinally sound, you're really not loving, because you're leading people to hell. You know, because you're teaching them a wrong gospel. You drift away from the truth. So that's not love. But when you do the things that are biblically sound, but you do them in love, then you remember something. You remember that when the times come that we all of us, might drift a little bit away. None of us are ever immune to a little false teacher doctrine, or getting maybe caught up in something, or maybe just getting a little away from it as we should. You know what you do? You don't go out there like a Pharisee and correct. You go there and you speak what Paul said to the Ephesian church. You speak truth in love. We correct one another with truth in love. We don't just go out and look at them saying, you are this way or that way. We say, listen, my brother, my sister, there's something just I want to share from the Word of God that He put on my heart for you. Just something that I'm not yelling, screaming at you. I'm not telling you that anything that I don't struggle with too, but I just want to share God's Word with you. I want to share it in love. And then allow the Holy Spirit to make that correction within them. Listen to what Paul said to the Ephesian church. He told them that in Ephesians 4 to speak truth and love to one another. But look what he says in that chapter even later down, verse 29. This is how we should deal with one another in love, right? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Think about our words to each other. Is that how we speak to one another? That we are edifying and that we impart grace to one another? Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Think about that. Do you know how many times we have said things like, yeah, I love them because I got to love them, but then we treat each other like junk? Do you ever notice sometimes how family members who do really love each other, but they treat each other with all kind of disrespect and the way they talk to each other? He's reminding us, you know, that we need to be kind to one another. Oh, I love them, but then we treat them like, you know, without kindness. How does that work? You forget to forgive one another. Hey, listen, every one of us is going to make mistakes. Every one of us is going to err. But do we have the grace and love to forgive one another in love? To treat each other in love, not just in word only, but in the deed, the way that we work together, the way that we, you know, respond to one another? See, he said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit many times when we allow ourselves not to love one another in the way that we should, even practically. Truth. Speak truth. And you know what a truth is? That we will not always agree. We will not always like each other. But we need to learn to love each other. And in the meantime, when we don't even like one another, be tenderhearted, be kind, forgive one another. You can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can. And you can't do it if you forget that you have been forgiven. If you forget how much you have been forgiven. You can't do it. Paul said at the beginning of that chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, he gave us everything we need to do this. He equipped us with everything we need, but we have to work at it. We have to intentionally do these things. And we can only do them when we're in the love of Christ. And when we drift from the love of Christ, I'm going to tell you, we become cynical. We talk about everybody. Did you see what this one did? Did you hear that one did? Instead of speaking truth and love to that individual, we talk about them. You know? And we need to, Lord, you said you give me ears to hear about this love. See, I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't speak truthfully to one another. When we let our anger control our actions. When we, you know, abuse or steal from one another. This is all in Ephesians 4, that rest of that chapter. You know, when we don't encourage one another, when we just abuse each other with our words instead of encouraging one another. I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and slander and all those different things that Paul talks about. When we fail to greet each other in love and are tenderhearted, when we're not tenderhearted, we're not forgiving, I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, we're not acting in love. By the way, just a reminder, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit lives within you. If you're not born again, he does not live within you. So this is, if the Holy Spirit is not living within you, you might be religious, you might be good, you may have reformed yourself, you may know the Bible, you may pray, but you're not saved, you're not born again. But the Holy Spirit is in the believer. I can tell you this much. Everyone here today who's born again has the Holy Spirit living within them, and he wants to do this work in them. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And I'll tell you, if you're not saved, he wants you to come to him. And the Holy Spirit's here to do that, convict you, and to bring you to Christ so that you know that first love. So what did Jesus say? I have this against you, Revelation 2, right? That you've left your first love. So what does he tell them to do? Remember. Remember. From where you fall, remember, go back. Think about it. Where did it all start to go wrong? Think about when you started to love yourself more than you loved me. Think about it when you started to love the work more than you loved me. Think about the fact when you'd be forgotten what a wretch you were. And you got so comfortable in your salvation that you forget the great price that was paid for you. That I loved you when you were dead in your trespasses and sin. That I loved you not after you cleaned yourself up, but while you were filthy and dirty. When you began to forget that love, you began to drift from it. Remember. Remember. Remember what it was like the first time you responded to the gospel and your eyes were open to the truth and you were saved, and how exciting it was to know that you didn't deserve this, but he loved you that much to die for you, and how you could not wait to walk in that love, to tell others about that love, how exciting it was. 1st time you've maybe fallen in love romantically, you know, everything's great at the beginning. You'll say everything, do everything, you put on your best and all that kind of stuff. Then it gets, you know, it should grow deeper, but that first love begins to wane. And if that first love completely goes away, you just can become people who love each other, but you can drift apart very easily. I didn't think about this earlier this morning when I brought this message in Jersey, but maybe we needed to hear it here, not there. But I just am reminded that the Bible story of Isaac and Rebecca, they had a love affair at the beginning. They didn't even know each other. When they got together, man, it was fireworks. And then they drifted apart. And they allowed their love to be on each one of the sons. One, Esau was to Isaac, and Jacob to Rebecca. And then when you see that part, man, they're so far apart. Still married. They still do things for each other. But there's no passion anymore. That's how it gets to us in the Lord. You know, and maybe you say, well, I've never had that kind of romantic love. Well, okay, maybe you haven't had it yet. Maybe you will. But but remember other first loves that you had. Maybe the first time you got this new job and you loved it. That means you really did. You loved going to work. And you went in early. And you stayed late. Some people are going, I never did that. Well, you didn't love your job. But some people do. They get the job and they just love it for 6 months, you know. And then you go in late and you roll out early. My father would always tell anybody, especially us, who would come to the office late. He said, would you came in late so you could leave early? You know? That first passion, you do it. You'll do anything. Oh, I'll do it. I'll do the job. Yeah, I'll do it. And then all of a sudden, after the honeymoon period's over, it's like, eh. And then you do the work just for the work's sake. You forgot that first love. Jesus told the Ephesian church how to keep that love alive. He said they have to remember first. Remember who you are. Remember who I am, what I did for you. That's first. Then he says what? Repent. See, because godly conviction will bring repentance. And then when we truly get godly conviction and we truly remember and the Holy Spirit begins to remind us about where's the burning of love gone, and we begin to remember those first things. And sometimes you have to tell yourself, and go back, really, go back. Think about your life before you were saved. Listen, it wasn't the good old days. It wasn't. It wasn't. And then think of your life when you heard the gospel, maybe several times, and when the time you finally received Christ and your eyes were open, and you're, think of it, and then realize, say, Lord, I want to repent about now the way I've let it cool off. I did that. You didn't. He still loves you with the same passion he always loved you with. It never changes. His love never changes. He never changes. But ours does. Oh, Lord, help me to repent, change, to change our minds about the way we are living, to return to the first works. See, because ultimately you and I need to hear something else that Paul spoke to the Ephesian church. He said this to them in praying for them. In chapter 3, he prays for them. That means he prayed for us too. He's praying for us. You know what he says? That Christ, chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He prayed that for you. Will you receive that prayer today? Holy Spirit, change us. Change my heart. Change my mind. Help me to come back. And you might be thinking about, well, what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, I will tell you this. It's going to look different for you than it's going to look for me. The end result will be the same, but the Holy Spirit works on us individually because he knows us. He knows and will reveal to you when you started to drift away and leave your first love. He will. He'll show you. He will show you that as you remember what your life was like. It was different than my life before Christ. We were all in the same boat, dead in our sins, but my life was different from yours because we're different people. But he'll show you and remind you of what it was like. Then he'll remind you of what your experience is like when you first came to Christ. You're going to remember that what that was like again, to the point where you're just reliving it over and over in your heart and your mind again. And then he's going to bring you to that place of repentance differently than he'll bring me. Because we're different, and he'll speak that truth to us that we need to hear. But you know what else will happen? We have to want to listen to his voice. We have to want to change. We have to want to allow the Holy Spirit to do that inventory in us that needs to be done. And then we do that inventory along with the Holy Spirit of God to see these things. So he prays for the church because we can't do it on our own. He's praying for something to take place that is miraculous, but it's not going to happen also without their cooperation, because that's how God works once we're saved. We're saved. He's done everything. We can't do anything. But once we're saved and we're growing in sanctification, we have to allow ourselves to want to be changed. We have to allow ourselves to want to remember. We have to allow ourselves to want to repent. We have to allow ourselves to go back to our first love and do the first works. And you know how we can, one of the ways we can do that is we can do that by encouraging one another. Church is meant to be lived in community. When we do church on our own, we're not in community. When we church hop, we're not in community. When we go, when we feel like it, we're not in community. When we come on Sunday and we're here, but we're just here, we're not in community. You could show up, it's still not be here. Church is meant to be lived in community. The Bible tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling together. That's Hebrews 25, right? Don't forsake that assembling, right? Do what? Exhort one another to fighting, to cursing, to running roughshod on one another, to come in and being cynical. And no, he says, exhort one another to love. To love. Exhort one another to love and to do those first works, or do those works. To love, not just do the work, because it's easy to put a guilt trip on one another. Oh, you're not going to show up. You're not going to help carry a table. You're not going to help put up a tent. You're not going to help do this. Okay, that's not what we know. We know love first, because if you love, you're going to run and want to do the other things. Because that love is ablaze in your heart. We have to exhort and encourage one another. And we can't do that but when we're home. We can't. It was never meant that way. We have to run the race together. Encourage one another. Do it in such a way that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us first. See, I always, Lord, as I'm preparing, Lord, you know, speak to me first, teach me first, correct me first. Help me to hear and do and change and repent and to listen and to go and to do those things first, Lord, because if I can't do it first, then don't let me then speak to anybody else. Because then it's going to be just like what Paul said, if I even had all the gifts and I had all this, but if I didn't have love in the midst of it, I'm just a clanging cymbal. But Lord, if I respond to your word, if my ears are open and I listen today and I hear and I repent as I remember the truth and I do it, then I can exhort my brother, I can exhort my sister when I see them to love and to good works. I can exhort them to not leave the first love. And I can speak truth to love in them, and if they get mad, they'll get glad again because I trust the Holy Spirit will correct them. I've told you several times, this one just stands out. I've had other experiences, but this one was just so over the top that somebody came to me and was counseling, and this was years back. They're not here anymore, so don't try to think who it might be. And they wanted to talk, and they were telling me all these different things, and I looked at them after I listened patiently for about 20 minutes and just listened and listened and listened, and I said, I believe that you do not know what love is. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to love, and you don't know how to receive love. Oh, man. If there was ever any doubt when I said those words, that doubt left me when they responded. How dare you tell me I don't love and I get... Then I listened for another 20 minutes. I said, okay, that's what I had to tell you. They didn't leave church, which was surprising, because usually that's what happens. But after about 6 months, they asked if they could see me again, and they came, and we sat, and we talked. And they said, you were right. I don't know what love is. All my life, I've never been loved. I don't know how to love. I don't even know really what God's love is. I don't know how to receive it for myself, and I don't know definitely how to love somebody else. So we prayed. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would teach them how to love, to show them love, to help them to understand love. See, it's not pretty, but love covers a multitude of sins. Speaking truth of love is important because if we speak lies to one another, we're not loving one another. And if we speak truth to one another without love, then we're just Pharisees. But if we speak truth in love, the Holy Spirit will do an amazing work. An amazing work. An amazing work amongst us. That we will hear the truth, read the truth, do the truth, and we'll be blessed. and others will be blessed through our lives. So, be in service, be in gatherings, even fellowships, meetings, whatever. Come out, be amongst one another. But when you're there, be present. Don't just show up. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you those areas in your life that practically needs to change. Be in the Word regularly. Read it. Meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit again to show me, correct me, teach me, encourage me. Don't just pick it up to say, I'm just going to read it because now I'm guilty that I'm not reading my Bible anymore. No, pick it up and say, Lord, I know I've left my first love and you're showing me this. I want to be back in your Word again. I want to read it, study it, live it. That I want to come together so I can encourage my brothers and be encouraged. I want to pray. Revive my prayer life, Lord. Because I have to spend time with you. Because if I don't spend time with you. So remember, he told us that he loved us first. But when we remember that love will grow in our hearts. And that love that we have one for another, the Bible says that was the love that the world will know that we are his and that he sent us into the world. And so when we do the work, the love's already in our hearts for him, for one another. And then we remember that since God so loved us, John wrote in his epistle, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It's so important that Jesus told the church, if you don't repent, I'm removing the lampstand. You're going to cease to be a church. You'll be an organization. You'll probably exist for a while. You may even get bigger. You may even get richer. But the power and the love of God will no longer be there. The Holy Spirit will no longer be amongst you. And that's an indictment on anybody. The good news is, from what history tells us, that after this letter was received by them and read to them, that they appear to have repented because in the second century, again later, after this letter would have been delivered and read to that church, they are noted in history by some of the earlier church fathers that day that wrote to the Ephesian church, and they said to the Ephesian church, we know you and you're noted not just because of the work, but because of your love that you have. The love that you have. Let that be said in us. So where it may be drifting, Lord, revive us. Let us take what we heard today. Let us remember. Let us repent. And let us do. Father, thank you for your word. It's powerful. Lord, I know my words are inadequate. They don't do nearly enough. But I know you're here and your Holy Spirit is here amongst us to do the work that you want to do because you love us. But Lord, we have to let you do it. So Lord, would we yield today? Would we surrender today? Would we allow you to do it in us and through us, that you may be glorified, yes, that we would be edified, that we would learn to love well, and through that love, we will do the work in love that the world would know, that the world would know, and many would come to experience that love for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we're going to sing a song, but if you want to hang around, stay for the meeting, we invite you all to do it, and just please stay, and we're going to start maybe like 5 or 10 minutes once the worship team finishes, so just do that. If you want to grab a water or something, do so, and let's stand and sing.